All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on, or joining us on this drizzly, rainy Saturday, October 22nd, 2016. Pleased to be joined in studio by my good friend, Steve Goldman. How you doing, Steve?
Doing very well, Anthony. A little, a little sleep deprived after watching the CIMB this morning. But I'm ready. I'm fired up and ready to go talk about Long Island golf.
Pretty good field they had at CIMB. We were talking about it a little bit off the air, and it's a pretty good showing by people around the world.
It's a great field. I mean, when the World Golf Championships kind of first evolved, and they talked about, okay, we're going to have a few events here in the United States, and then we're going to have one in China. You know, at first I thought about, I get the fact that, you know, golf is an international game, but I'm thinking, you know, what's going to be the appeal about playing golf in China? And you could see that a tournament like the CIMB, which is played in Malaysia, specifically in Kuala Lumpur, you could see that golfers aren't just going to go to China and just play once. They want to travel out to the Pacific and they want to play in, let's say, a warm-up tournament. So this tournament specifically, the CIMB, is drawing amazing fields because they're getting themselves ready for a World Golf Championship. And you can see by the roster of people that have won this event, it's basically been dominated by American golfers. Except this year, you've got an Indian golfer, Anirban Lahiri, who fired a 65, this morning. and he's got a big lead going into tomorrow. So, you're right. The field's incredible. I mean, the and the level, and you can see. I mean, what is he at 18 under through something like that?
Seventeen under.
17 under through three rounds. I mean, the level of play is off the charts.
Yep, and Justin Thomas shoots one under 71 and gets left in the dust.
Right, and he's the defending champion. So, like we were saying, you know, who's in the field? It's Patrick Reed. It's Sergio Garcia, Rafa Cabrera-Bello.
Paul Casey,
Ryan Moore. I mean, these guys, a lot of the top players in the world are playing in this event. And the thing that I love about this time of year is that when they play overseas, it takes the decision-making away from me because it doesn't, when it's a regular Sunday afternoon event, I'm watching football, I'm watching the baseball playoffs, I'm watching the golf, I'm sort of switching around. But now when they're playing at, 11 o'clock at night and goes until 2 in the morning, I said, okay, I'll just stay up late and watch the golf, and then I don't have to worry about, what am I going to do, how am I going to stay informed, because I'll already have seen the golf tournament, it'll be over by tomorrow morning, and then I can worry about, football and baseball.
I think there's a couple things that it saves me for golf when you talk about this sort of not off season but kind of off season,
right.
And that is, there's a couple of events that I love, and one of them is the Dunhill Links at St. Andrews.
Yes,
and then when they take that trip to the Sand Belt in Australia.
Yes, when they play the three majors in Australia, the Australian Open, the
tremendous.
Australian Masters, and the Australian PGA. It's, you're right, and the year when the President's Cup was in Australia and had all those American golfers that were down there playing
exactly.
those events, it was fantastic theater.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and I love those golf courses down there. It's kind of the way I kind of feel the way that golf as it should be played along the ground, that kind of stuff, and it's just a fun. This is what saves this sort of Netherland of this wraparound tour season. Those events,
yes,
and that's. That's enjoyable for me.
Especially when it's in the wintertime and it's cold and, there's no, you have to wait until the weekend for football.
Yep.
And, I'm a big hockey fan, but you know what, in December and January, I'm really not kind of in tune to it, and I'm not an NBA fan. So it's a great fix for me to be able to watch, like I said, in the off hours, to be able to watch a golf tournament and then worry about anything else that I want to watch later.
Yep, and it's fun and interesting and creative golf. It's
yes.
not just kind of point, aim, and shoot.
And like you said,
target.
Like Royal Melbourne is one of the best courses in the world. It's,
Without question.
It's beautiful.
All right, we're going to get to our first break. He's Steve. I'm Anthony. We'll be back in 2 seconds. You're listening to, actually, maybe more like 1 minute.
That's right.
We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabeal has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. And pleased to be joined on the line by the Executive Director of the Long Island Golf Association and the Executive Director of the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund, Doug Vergeth. Doug, how you doing this morning?
I'm great, Anthony. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, pleasure to have you. No one does more for amateurs on Long Island, amateur golfers than you guys at the Long Island Golf Association. Just wanted to, you know, talk a little bit about you specifically and your roles. You have these dual hats here. Talk a little bit about your roles for each position that you have there.
Sure. As executive director of the Long Island Golf Association, the Golf Association, as you said, is in the business of running golf championships and identifying the best golfers on Long Island. We have the Long Island Open, the Long Island Amateur, and a variety of other championships. And primarily my responsibility there is tournament planning and execution in terms of planning the events and making sure that everything goes well.
And then as the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund Executive Director, what does that entail?
Well, there's three main parts of that job, Anthony. The first is fundraising. We raise about $300,000 a year and give the vast majority of that to young people going to college. And then there's also new applicant processing. The last 2 years, we've had 36 applicants that we've awarded scholarships to, and there's a process of reviewing their applications, setting up an interview with our board, setting up an award ceremony. And then the third function there, I guess, is renewals. We have 112 total scholars on scholarship with us for the 2016-2017 academic year. And so the scholarships are good for up to 4 years of undergraduate education. So the young people that got a scholarship a year ago submit their transcript and their grades and proof that they're registered for the fall semester, and then we issue them a second, third, or fourth check. So those three things keeps me busy.
Doug, what would you say would be your top criteria for someone getting a scholarship?
The biggest thing, Anthony, is the recommendation from the club. Our member clubs, the Caddy Masters and the golf professionals at our member clubs, look at the kids in their caddy yard and you know, send us the kids that they think are the best representatives that are going to college. And then we go from there in terms of the screening process. But that recommendation from the club that they work at, you know, they know their work ethic. They know the length of time they've been there. Their requirement is to have worked at least two full seasons prior to the time that they apply.
And if you and as everybody said, and as the late great Arnold Palmer always said, you get to know somebody when you spend 4 hours with them playing golf, and you certainly get to know your caddy and how they are after spending 4 hours a day with them. And so the members, you know, and the clubs, as you said, they would have a good read on these applicants.
Absolutely, and it's one of the things, Anthony, we love about caddies and caddying. I started in golf as a caddy at 13 years old. President of the Caddy Scholarship Fund and Golf Association, Michael Sullivan, started as a caddy in the caddy yard at Garden City Country Club. And we think there's three huge benefits that from caddying for kids. It helps them start developing a love of golf. It teaches them the value of hard work. And as you were saying, they interact with adults in a different way than almost any other job. So we think it's a great thing, and that kids get a lot out of it.
Doug, going back to the championships that you mentioned before, you just recently had the Long Island Senior Open, won by, dare I say, the legendary Darrell Kessner. I mean, if people are even remotely familiar with Long Island golf, they recognize the name on, you know, leaderboards at, you know, at tour events. So what does it mean to have someone of that type of status being the champion of a very prestigious event?
Oh, it was just terrific. I was officiating a prior group that day, but our tournament director, John McGrath, said that he felt like he got $1,500 worth of short game lessons just watching Darrell manage his way around the golf course and his chipping and his putting, and he's just such a class guy. And of course, he had a real battle. Charlie Bowling went out in 4-under 32 on the front and took a 3-shot lead. So they had a real battle back and forth, and Charlie ended up with a 15-footer for birdie to tie on the last hole and just missed it. So it was a terrific championship, and of course, it was this week, as you know. So we had high 70s, low 80 degree temperatures. Usually, sure. Our senior open the third week in October. We often have frost delays, so that was a real pleasure this week.
And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you couldn't have had a more, and as Steve said, you couldn't have had a better champion. I mean, Darrell Kessner has meant so much to Long Island golf, and he is, as you said, a top-notch guy. He is first class all the way.
Yeah, tremendous. And he's representative of all of the Long Island pros. In that respect, Anthony, he's just we're blessed to have a great group of professionals, and it's a pleasure to work with those guys.
You know, I want to get back to the tournaments in a second, but I want to just double backtrack to the Long Island Caddy Scholarship. It's a little bit of a shame. I think we're fortunate that we have so many great clubs on Long Island, but when you hear the stories of caddies and clubs doing away with the caddies as part of the club across the nation, it's a little sad, isn't it? I mean, the caddies are such a fun experience and such a great part of the fabric of what makes up a golf club. You know, we're very fortunate, but it's a little bit of a shame when you hear about these places across the nation that are closing down their caddy programs.
Yeah, obviously the golf cart and the revenue associated with the golf cart has a part to play in that. But there's still a lot of great programs, and I think the Northeast and Long Island and the surrounding area here continues to be one of the real great places for caddies in the country.
Where did you caddy?
I grew up in western New York in a little town 60 miles west of Buffalo called Chautauqua.
Okay.
And caddied at the Chautauqua Golf Club.
Sounds and that where you fell in love with the game?
Yes.
And you've been playing ever since?
Yep.
Yeah, it's the golf has a funny way of grabbing you like that.
Yeah, yeah. Anthony, the highlight of our year for the Caddy Scholarship Fund is we have an awards ceremony in August just before the kids go off to school, and we have them all come in, and they talk. They each get up, 36 kids this year, as I said. They all get up and give a little talk for 3 minutes or so about what they've learned from caddying, their relationship with golf, what they've studied, what they plan to do in college. And it's so rewarding, and they're such great kids. And many of them, you can see, many of them had a love for golf and went to the golf course to get a job because of that. Others didn't and were drawn to golf from their experience as caddies. So, but just a tremendous group of young people that really makes you optimistic about the future.
Doug, can our listeners get involved in some way? Can they donate? Can they help the cause?
Sure. The ad I heard before had my phone number, so our number in Mineola at our office is 516-746-1015. And we get a lot of donations, and the funding comes primarily from our member clubs, but we also have a lot of individuals and a lot of family foundations and that kind of organization that make contributions to Caddy Scholarship Fund.
Doug, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to continue this wonderful conversation about the Long Island Golf Association and the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. We're going to we'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by Doug Burgeth, who is the executive director of not just the Long Island Golf Association. He's also the executive director for the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. Doug, you were just mentioning about the kids and their and the caddies talking about getting up and talking about their experiences. And I was just wondering how much do the kids stay in touch, not just through the application process, but just staying in touch and talk about maybe some of the longer-term relationships you have with caddies who have been through the program.
Well, the best example of that, Anthony, is Michael Sullivan, our president, grew up in the caddy yard at Garden City, was a Long Island Caddy Scholarship winner, went to St. John's where he played on the golf team, started a career in Wall Street, and, you know, fast forward a number of years, and he's a member of Garden City Country Club, becomes the president of Garden City Country Club, and for the last dozen years or so has been president of the Caddy Scholarship Fund, and for the last 2 years, president of the Golf Association. So that's a great example. Another is a friend of ours and a board member of ours, Morty Howard, who's at Fresh Meadow. Morty, years ago, was a terrific tournament player, qualified for many USGA events, and had a tour caddy from the caddy yard at Fresh Meadow, and really liked the young man. You know, and again, fast forward 20 years, now he's the VP of Morty's manufacturing company. So there's a lot of stories like that of, you know, people making connections in the caddy yard that that last a lifetime.
Yep. And folks, if you want to donate or be a part of the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund, as Doug said, you can reach them at 516-746-1015, or you can email them at the liga@longislandgolf.org. That's liga@longislandgolf.org. Let's shift bases to the Long Island Golf Association part of it. What your role there, and what does that encompass?
Well, the Golf Association is primarily in the business of running golf tournaments and identifying golf champions. So the planning and the execution of those events is the main responsibility of the executive director.
And you're fortunate to play on a number of really outstanding golf courses. I mean, when, you know, we're fortunate, as we've said, I think, quite frankly, Long Island has probably the best 100 miles of golf in the world, maybe at least comparable to what they have in Australia in the Sand Belt area. The two probably are one, you know, a 1A and 1B, quite frankly,
sure,
in terms of a 100-mile stretch of golf. But, you know, the places that you play, I mean, Seawayne, Bethpage Black, Garden City, you know, Century, Sands Point. I mean, it's just Nassau Country Club. You know, these are some really top quality tracks, and it's amazing that you guys are able to play on them every year.
Yeah, it's a great privilege. I agree with your comments about the quality of the clubs here, 100%, and they've been very supportive. An interesting phenomenon in the last couple of years, Anthony, this year we had our Open Championship at the Garden City Country Club, and we had our Amateur Championship the next week around the corner at the Cherry Valley Club. And both of those clubs, it was their 100th anniversary. They were both established in 1916, and 2016 is their 100th anniversary. And so we tied in, the reason they wanted us to come now was to tie in our championship with their 100th anniversary celebration. And next year we have a similar situation. The Long Island Amateur is going to be at St. George's, my home club, which was established in 1917 and going to celebrate the 100th anniversary. And our Senior Open is going to be at Engineers, and it's their 100th anniversary. So that's a phenomenon that's worked in our favor in terms of clubs wanting to host events.
That's amazing. And let's be sure to touch base so we can have either the pro or representative from those clubs to come on the show to talk about their club and the 100-year anniversary. That would be fantastic.
Great. Yeah, that would be good.
I'm just looking at these golf courses, and these golf courses are so, I mean, obviously these amateurs, as you said, want to be identified as the best, and we'll get to the player of the year in a second. But to me, these golf courses are, if I'm a player, I want to play, you know, these golf courses just in general, not just compete and win a prestigious trophy, but,
sure.
You know, these golf courses are, I would say, as much a part of the fabric that makes up this championship, these championships and the LIGA, as much as the championship itself.
Oh, there's no question about it. They're just terrific golf courses. And, Anthony, one of the things that's just such a joy about my job, every tournament that we have, I go to the golf course perhaps 3 weeks or 4 weeks in advance of the start of the tournament, and I sit down with the general manager, the golf course superintendent, and the golf professional, and plan out every aspect of the tournament. And those, that group of people, the manager, the golf professional, and the superintendent, they are such professionals. They know their jobs. They're in the service business, and all they want to do is make their place perfect for the days that we're there. So they're just a complete pleasure to work with.
Yeah, I would think that any club would be proud to be hosting an LIGA event.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And we're feel very fortunate to go there and try to make sure that it's a good experience on both sides.
You mentioned the planning part of it. How far in advance do you set up these wonderful golf courses?
Well, it's one of the things that has helped us in the last. We used to always work on the schedule for the next year, you know, in the fall of the year before. About now, we'd be working on 2017.
Right.
And a few years ago, we started planning farther in advance and going out 2 or 3 years on our calendar. So a year ago, we set our 2018 Long Island Open and Long Island Amateur. The Open is going to be at Nassau Country Club. The Amateur is going to be at Wheatley Hills. Two just terrific clubs and terrific tracks.
Absolutely.
And so that's helped us. And then this fall and, you know, in the next few months, we'll be working on our major championships for 2019 and 2020. So that's helped us. It's easier for the club to look at their calendar, and, you know, they have a lot less on it when you go out a couple of years. And it's worked very successfully for us to adopt that strategy.
Yeah, that seems like it makes a lot of sense, like you said. And rather than trying to squeeze things in, it's easier to just write on a blank calendar that the LIGA is coming. Obviously, similar. I mean, the USGA has been doing that for years. I mean, obviously,
sure,
they go out further. But it does seem like logistically it makes more sense, and it makes it easier not only for the clubs but for you to continue to get these quality clubs.
Sure.
What do you have a particular favorite event that you particularly enjoy watching while you're you know, during the season?
Yeah, I like them all, obviously, but both the Richardson and the Long Island Amateur are two match play championships for amateurs. And so, you know, all the USGA championships for amateurs are match play.
Yeah.
And match play is the heart of amateur golf. So I think for me, those two events are just terrific fun. You know, it's one of the things I say to our volunteers. We have a volunteer with all 16 matches that go the first day of the amateur. We have a volunteer with all the matches that go the first day at the Richardson. And from an official standpoint, it's one of the highlights of the year, certainly, to be out there on the golf course, watch a match, watch the ebb and flow of match play. And so I think those two events probably have a special place.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I like the Richardson for two reasons. One, I love the Sea Wayne Club. And two, I think that to me, the Richardson's is really like sort of opening day for Long Island golf.
Yeah,
and to, you know, and that's the way I look at that. I mean, I think that's when I know the Richardson's coming up, I know that golf is on its way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Sea Wayne is just a terrific venue, and the people there just couldn't be nicer.
Yeah, and they've done a wonderful job there recovering from. We're going to be having actually their superintendent on soon because the undertaking that they had to when they recovered from the hurricane. You guys obviously moved the Richardson that year, but what they've done in response to that is just really nothing short of incredible.
Yeah, Brian Benedict is just one of the premier superintendents on Long Island, and that's a terrific story of the work and the truckloads of debris that they had to chop up and cart away. It's an amazing story.
I love that the Richardson, as we said, is like opening day. But I love that it's played in the same spot every year. Like they and C. Wayne loves the Richardson, and they love having you guys. It's a nice relationship that you guys have.
Yes, it really is, and that's one of the things about our schedule, Anthony, that we're very fortunate. We have of the 14 events, we have five of them that are on repeat venue, you know, permanent venues.
Yep.
Every year. We're fortunate to our Hebron Stroke Play Championship is at the Black. Our women's is at the Red every year. And then our Sands four ball is at North Shore. That was started in memory of George Sands in cooperation with the North Shore Club, where he was a longtime member and president of the MGA and LIGA. And then finally, the senior amateur was established in conjunction with our former board member and Old Westbury member Arthur Weber, and so we play that at Old Westbury every year. So that gives us a running start each year in filling in that calendar.
It was it's just wonderful to have you on the program. I Doug Vergeth, we're talking with the executive director of both the Long Island Golf Association and the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. Doug, thank you for joining me this morning, and thank you for just giving us a little peek behind the window, because I think that behind the curtain, because, you know, people enjoy these, amateurs go and they play in these events and they enjoy these events, but it's done with a lot of hard work between yourself, your board, your officers, and lots of volunteers. So thank you for coming on to sort of giving us a little peek behind the curtain about what it takes to accomplish all that the Long Island Golf Association accomplishes.
Thank you so much, Anthony. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Absolutely. Well, be well, Doug, and hopefully you and I will get a chance to tee it up this season.
Thank you.
All right, take care. That was Doug Vergeth, the executive director of the Long Island Golf Association and the Long Island Golf, Caddy Scholarship Fund. You go onto longislandgolf.org and you'll be able to, there's a tab there specifically for the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund, and you can donate and be a part of that as well. So thank you for joining me, and thank you to the LIGA. And we'll catch you next week, folks, for the final episode of the year. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.